Hi, today's April 18th, 2015, and this is Comics News Podcast number 68. Today I've got my good friends, and I say that in plural because we have both. Oh, I should say I'm Taro Gasawara. And we have both Jay Stone and Emil Reyes rejoining us, as he does every now and then. Glad to have Emil back. Today we've got only one topic. We're going to talk about Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, which was released on April 10th in its entirety, as Netflix does. I have not seen the whole thing. I've seen like 1.7 of the, 13 episodes? Something like that. So I've only seen, I've seen shy of 2 episodes. Have you seen the whole thing yet, Jay?
No, I've only seen the first 2 or 3.
Okay, so you're kind of like me. And if Emil, I think you said before we started that you've watched the whole series already.
Yeah, I binge watched that whole thing as soon as it was available.
Okay, now oddly enough, my wife, who is not a superhero fan, didn't binge watch, but she did see the whole series already. So I have not seen it either. I have not seen it. Well, I said that earlier, but so I've been telling her, don't tell me anything. You know, it's interesting her take on it as a non-comic book fan. She doesn't even know who Daredevil was in the comic book world. So a couple of things. First of all, so Daredevil was a comic book created mostly by Stan Lee and Bill Everett with some input from the King Jack Kirby back in the 1960s. I remember him having a yellow suit and then a red suit. And in this one, he has a black, I wouldn't even call it a suit. It's a black outfit, kind of like you might see a special agent or something wear, loose fitting, that sort of thing. It's the same universe as the Marvel movies and therefore the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. My take, it's kind of a year one kind of season. And I haven't seen a Billy Club appear, although I did see him use an electric prod in episode 1 like a Billy Club. And it's really dark and violent. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm going to try to keep from spoilers, but
okay.
I would say if you've only seen the first few episodes, keep on watching. I can see why it does seem very slow. I would say the first 3 or 4 episodes.
Mm.
I would say the difference between this and other Marvel projects, and I'm thinking of some of the worst Marvel projects, not some of the best ones. But character development, their own sweet time, and they do a good job with character development. They have it has some of the best villain development of any Marvel project. So I'm remembering things, you know, some of the things that they did with. I don't think I'll be spoiling it by saying the Kingpin's going to show up.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's a secret for anyone.
But some of the things they did for character development for the Kingpin reminded me of things I've seen about the Kingpin in comics from past about him, about why he's the way he is, and, you know, and that parts of him don't necessarily always mean to be evil, but that he's a complex character. And I was really impressed to see that they touched on that in the series.
So he's more fully developed, not literally a two-dimensional.
Oh yeah, he's very developed. I'll say this: there's almost an entire full episode dedicated to developing him.
So some of his backstory and stuff. I'm going to look forward to that. You know, as of episode 2, at least the part I'm in episode, he has not appeared. I think he's appeared in the shadows. You know, like in a limousine.
Yeah. Actually, when I was watching, I was wondering, when the heck is he going to show up?
Yeah. It does take a while, huh? That's one of the things I noticed about, at least, you know, like I said, I haven't seen the two whole episodes yet, but what I have seen is, it's been kind of slow, you know, punctuated, but it's kind of like watching a football or maybe a baseball game, you know, where things are kind of plodding along for a while, and then all of a sudden there's a crack of the bat and stuff happens.
Yeah.
So that's how it seems to me so far, you know, having not seen more than 2 episodes. But what I've seen, even the slow, you know, talky parts are interested. And I can see how maybe they're using this to set up the other series that are going to be emerging over the next, 2 years or so to eventually create the Defenders.
yeah, they've been talking about even a big screen. Defenders is what some of the chatterings on the internet is about. Not sure if how many of them are actually having to do with anything official.
Yeah.
But we know that Jessica Jones and, well, actually on the net, the first pics of Jessica Jones on the back of Luke Cage's motorcycle came out.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They finally showed Luke Cage, too. I can't remember the actor's name, but you know, as soon as I looked at him, I was like, yeah, that's Luke Cage.
Right. And isn't the fourth series Iron Fist?
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's going to be interesting.
That's the one I want to watch.
Yeah.
So there's been discussions, again, not sure how official they are, but you know, of a Defenders, possible Defenders movie. And then are any of these, is Daredevil going to be involved with, how involved is he going to be with, you know, Civil War, the next Captain America movie, and of course, the Infinity Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because the Netflix Marvel characters tend to be more, I mean, Daredevil is obviously unpowered in the, you know, traditional sense of superpowers.
Uh-huh.
He's more Batman-like than anybody else, you know, except for his enhanced senses. But once we get to Luke Cage, you know, and the other, well, actually all of the other three, we get not Thor, you know, Hulk kind of power. You get kind of, what would you call it, lower class strength levels, to use the gamer term.
Well, something
for the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I love Iron Fist.
Okay, I actually never read Iron Fist.
I read Iron Fist. He's a fun character.
What really got me about the Daredevil series was something that Whedon tried to Whedon did with Firefly. Whedon said that the purpose of Firefly was to make a sci-fi series about a group that the Enterprise would just pass over and not even think twice about. You know, he wanted to make a series about the guy on the ground, not the one in the stars.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling that I got from Daredevil, was like the Avengers would just, you know, they wouldn't even know he exists.
Right.
They would just fly over. They're busy dealing with galactic stuff.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Daredevil's taking care of the people on the ground.
Yeah, taking care of the streets.
Yeah.
Literally.
That's how he is in the comics, though.
Yeah. And that's the great feel that the series put off to me.
Well, you know, having said that, though, Jen, and remember, I am a little bit older than you guys, so I remember the original, you know, Daredevil series from the 60s. And back then, at least, the Daredevil was a, you know, wasn't a dark kind of character that he became after Frank Miller. He was still, I mean, he had some, you know, like most Marvel characters, even in the 60s, he was a little darker than the DC characters, a lot darker, but you know, he was kind of almost like an unpowered Spider-Man in some ways, right? He was flying around, you know, from building to building, so to speak, using his billy club and, you know, jumping off of tall buildings and flipping around and kind of doing things like a unpowered Spider-Man in, you know, from what I could tell. More like Batman. He did pretty amazing things as a unpowered human being. But it was a lot more fun, maybe that's the word, you know, before things got really dark, you know, after the Dark Knight and on the DC side and Frank Miller's run in Daredevil and all those kind of things. So it really did morph over time. You know, it was much more of a comic book character in the traditional sense in the beginning, in the, at least in, for most of the 60s and some of the 70s, certainly through the Gene Colan run, which was amazing.
Yeah. When did Gene Colan drew Daredevil?
Gene Colan drew Daredevil for 80 issues, I think.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So Bill Everett took over. Then there was, I think Wally Wood did some inking, and Jack Kirby did an issue or two. I think maybe Johnny Romita did an issue or two before he went to Spider-Man. And then Gene Colan did, I think, like an 80-issue run.
Wow, that's like amazing.
And it was amazing to look at. It was, you know, Gene Colan had that cinematic view, right? And Daredevil, you know, you can see Daredevil, right? I mean, standing in the building in the dark with that red suit, you know. It was quite visual, beautifully visually.
And if you ever, you know, the uniform change does happen. You know,
he ends up with the red suit?
So if you don't want to be spoiled in seeing it, because the pictures are all over the net on certain places now. So
they actually show it in the opening sequences. If you look, you know, it's a flash, but you do see him in a red suit right at every opening, even in the first two episodes.
And the funny thing that was pointed out to me is that his black suit that he's wearing now, yeah, it was in the Frank Miller's Daredevil. But it was also in when Daredevil did a guest appearance on the Incredible Hulk show on TV with Lou Ferrigno back then.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and he actually was in almost the exact same suit.
I kind of remember that. I wonder if
I don't remember that one.
Is Incredible Hulk on Netflix or Amazon Prime? I got to go look at that. That'd be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. I would say that one was probably one of the better ones, where, you know, rather than when the Incredible Hulk met Thor, they were fighting, and then they stopped fighting because the police came. It made no sense. But I just thought it was interesting that it's almost the exact same costume as the Hulk show.
And I have to say, it does make sense. I mean, you know, it never makes sense for superheroes to be full blown in spandex or armor or whatever it is they have, unless, you know, they started off like an army project or something. So it kind of, as a year one type of series, it makes sense that he doesn't really have a defined uniform, at least for the first couple of episodes, and has basically, you know, modified street clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And discovers what it is he needs to be a superhero, so to speak, you know, from a clothing point of view.
Yeah, there's some clear discussions on the costume and how it evolves. There's some clear pushes in the episodes. There's also a lot of hidden Easter eggs to other Marvel characters I totally missed.
Yeah, you know, even in the first episode, I think a couple of the villains allude to, you know, other superheroes and a lot of the chaos created by the invasion and that sort of thing.
Well, did you see who his father was fighting?
Creel? Crusher Creel? Yes.
Crusher Creel.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I always liked that villain, Absorbing Man.
Yeah. It's nice to see this all tied in. It'll be interesting to see how the other series emerge. But, you know, one of the things I'm worried about is, you know, I think Jay may have mentioned earlier that there may be a Defenders movie. And if they're going to take 2 years or more to introduce these series, and it's going to take at least another 2 years to produce a movie unless they do it in parallel, that means that these characters, I mean, I shouldn't say their characters, the actors portraying these characters are going to be aging rapidly, you know, as they approach the movie and, you know, potentially a sequel to the movie. You know, it'll be 6, 7, 8 years before a sequel comes out to the movie.
Oh, they'll just have to act painted green with a lot of CG.
Before we get too much further, again, Jay and I haven't seen the whole thing. I'm kind of like a mixed bag. It's like it's moving kind of slow, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. Unlike Gotham, which I did not enjoy what I'm seeing for most of it. It's gotten better lately. But I'm enjoying what I'm seeing, and I'm willing to put up with what seems to me a slow pace. Emil, you seem to like it, and you're telling me, from what you told me, I need to put up with that slow pace to get to the good part. Jay, how do you feel right now?
I don't really care for it right now.
Okay.
I mean, I'll watch it, but it's not like I wait bated breath for Flash or Arrow.
Right.
Even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., to be honest, or Daredevil. I was so excited about Daredevil, and then when I saw the first episode, it just wasn't... I guess maybe I don't really like the guy who plays Daredevil. I don't like that actor, that his portrayal of it.
Mm.
I like Foggy. I like the girl.
Foggy is good. That's a good casting.
He was good. I like Foggy. I like the girl. Yeah. I like a lot of the support
characters. Karen Page,
I don't like the guy who's playing Daredevil right now. And it's not that I don't like him as Daredevil. He's great as Daredevil.
Yeah.
I don't like him as Matthew Murdock.
Why is that? The look or the acting something else?
He just seems way too... I don't know. Is it subdued or something? I just don't... I'm not connecting with his portrayal so far, and I've only seen the first two episodes, though.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I liked the actor's portrayal of the Matt Murdock side of it so far, because, at least in my recollection, you know, in the early, again, this is 1960s, 1970s Daredevil, Matt Murdock was very stiff.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he's stiff. He's really stiff.
You know, and part of it was because he's. I'm talking about the character now. Matt Murdock is blind. And even though he doesn't need to behave as if he is, you know, he always has that posture and, you know, look as if, you know, he's not quite sure where he's going, but he's keeping kind of his body at a certain angle, you know, to put up the pretense that he can't detect mm-hmm. things, right? And mm-hmm. so I'm okay with that portrayal and that kind of stiff portrayal. You know, he obviously doesn't look at faces when he's Matt Murdock, or at least he tries not to. Because he's not supposed to know where your face is, right? I mean, except from the voice. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with his portrayal of it.
Well, you know, as I was watching the series, when it got to the end, I saw basically the way that the character was acting. I was like, yeah, there's a clear delineation between Daredevil and Matt Murdock.
Right, right.
And Matt Murdock does get a lot more development. You definitely have something to look forward to. I did love the relationship between Matt and Foggy. It definitely gets a lot more development. You know, it's great that they have more time to develop. They don't have to fit everything into an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah.
So,
And Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson have a very complex relationship in the comics. Yeah. So, you know,
they do.
Mm-hmm. And by the end of the series, I couldn't believe how well that actor was chosen.
Mm. Okay, well, that's good. That's good to look forward to.
Yes.
Honestly, at the beginning, I knew him from one other movie that was kind of like a kid's movie. And I was like, really? That's Daredevil?
Yeah, I'm really not familiar with his past work. Actually, I'm not familiar with any of the actors' past work. I don't recognize any of them, I think.
Yeah. But I really like Foggy.
Yeah, yeah.
Of all the parts of when I watch the film, that's where when I watch the TV show.
Yes,
I actually like watching whenever he's on.
He's more than comic relief, which is appreciate the way they've written the character. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, Jamil, since you've seen the whole thing, and without revealing too much for those of us who haven't seen it, you know what you mentioned there are Easter eggs. What kind of Easter eggs can we look forward to?
There's a couple future Daredevil. There's at least one future Daredevil villain in there. One of the main Daredevil villains that I know of. Prior to him becoming what he was, but I totally missed that Easter egg. Mm. Totally missed it. He actually helped start Daredevil out at first. I would say that I can't remember some of them that I missed, but some of the references with one of the I know there was a reference to one of the lawsuits one of the lawsuits that either him or one of Roxxon's mentioned in there during one of the lawsuits.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So Roxxon.
Oh, Roxxon Oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
The firm that Murdoch and Foggy were with before they went independent, they were dealing with a Roxxon Oil case. Okay. And there's a couple further mentions in there, and then some other things with the Kingpin that I can't remember all of it, but I probably shouldn't quote it.
Okay. So comic book fans should keep a close eye on the show because there are bits and pieces that will kind of, mm-hmm. I guess, tickle our fancy, so to speak. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it. You know, I just haven't had a chance to look at all 13 episodes yet for a variety of reasons, but it's on my radar, and I hope that they don't have anything that I need to see before Age of Ultron in case I don't get to the 13th episode by the time Avengers 2 comes out. What is it, next month already? Is it May?
Yeah.
May 1st.
Yeah. Oh, so like weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, like 2 weeks. I guess maybe I could try to watch all 13 episodes in the next couple of weeks. But definitely on my list of things to do. I'm still catching up on things like The Flash and Green Arrow, which I guess has finished the season. I don't know. But
it's not over yet.
I still, you know, they're still sitting on my DVR, and my DVR didn't record one, so I had to go buy it from, or not had to, but I bought it from iTunes, so I can catch up on that. So a lot of things on my list of to watch.
Arrow is really good.
Not sure if you saw the latest Ant-Man trailer.
Oh, that was good.
I don't know if I've seen the latest Ant-Man trailer.
No, Batman Super Dawn of Justice trailer, too, or teaser.
Yes.
I saw that one. That was interesting. And I just, the DC has messed up so many movies. It's hard for me, you know, with the exception of Batman. Mm-hmm. They've messed up so many movies. It's hard for me to get excited over anything I see in a trailer. But we will see. Anything else on Daredevil from you guys? I like the character. You know, the Daredevil was never one of the main Marvel, you know, powerhouse characters, and he wasn't in the Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man popularity level ever. I don't think, but I always found him interesting. And oddly enough, I liked him in his original yellow suit, and I was kind of disappointed when they switched to the red one. Although it made a lot more sense.
Well, I'm looking forward to when you guys, so we can talk after you guys see the whole series.
Okay, we'll do part two on this podcast.
I'd like to say that I'm not saying right now because I don't want to ruin it.
Okay. We'll do a part two in a couple of weeks or months or however long it takes Jay and me to slog through it. But we'll tentatively, let's say, sometime in May. I know you've got a lot on your plate, Emil, but you know, let us know when things get a little bit more easy schedule-wise for you, and we'll make sure that you're on the podcast to revisit our discussion of Marvel's Daredevil and Netflix part two. But, well, you know, I guess we're kind of done with that topic, but since we're mentioning trailers and things, and no, I didn't see that. I don't think I've seen the latest Ant-Man trailer. I did see a couple of Ultron trailers, which, you know, were good. I saw the Superman v Batman, which is, I'm still not convinced, but I'm concerned,
which is understandable.
Yeah. And not exactly a comic book thing, but I got goosebumps when I saw the Star Wars trailer.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching it, like, I don't know how many times since yesterday or Thursday.
Did you see that little droid that's a ball is actually real? It's not CG?
No.
Yeah, they built it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's impressive engineering.
When is that? Next year? 2016?
This year.
Yeah. Is it this year?
Christmas.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. You know, they're having the Star Wars celebration in Anaheim from Thursday to Sunday. And so you can actually watch the entire footage of the Star Wars celebration on YouTube. Wow. They posted it. Wow. And so they have all the interviews with all the actors and the new ones and the old ones. They have Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Peter Mayhew and Anthony Daniels, and they brought out the droid, the new droid.
Yeah. And related to that, if anybody is flying, anybody listening to this is flying to or from Japan, if you are an ANA, All Nippon Airlines, they have an R2-D2 Star Wars jet, so you may want to check it out. It looked pretty good. Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to the Star Wars. You know, it just looks good. And, of course, when you see Chewbacca and, you know, Han Solo aged properly, you can say, whoa, just whoa.
And you know that desert planet is not Tatooine, yeah?
No, I didn't know that.
It's not. It's Jakku. It's a different planet.
Which makes sense, right? I mean,
I don't know if it makes sense, but I was, because I heard it on they interviewed the girl, the new girl.
Yeah.
New female character.
Right.
And she talks about, okay, we're on Jakku. And then I went, okay, so it's a different planet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's literally a big universe in the Star Wars universe. So, you know, it stands to reason it doesn't have to be the same planet. Although that trailer sure shows a lot of familiar stuff in a different light. And I'm really hoping I'm not disappointed by this like I was by the last three Star Wars movies. But we will see. Okay, and the other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about in the next podcast or two or three are some of the big events that are going on. I finally got around to reading something that's already been done for a while, and that's the Earth 2 series. So talk to you about, you know, how that leads into, what is it called, Convergence? Is that going on right now, Jay?
Yeah, it already started.
Mm. Any thoughts on that?
Convergence?
Yeah.
The main Convergence series is a little slow. Yeah. Our work's pretty good. But yeah, the biggest thing is that you get to see characters that don't exist in the New 52. So they're going to have pre-Crisis and Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
Pre-New 52, pre-Flashpoint, or not pre-Flashpoint, but Flashpoint characters, zero-hour characters. So you're gonna be able to see all different kinds of characters or in all the different books.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool.
And how about you, Emil? Have you done any? I mean, I know you've got a full plate of other things to read these days, but have you had a chance to catch up on any comic books or old movies or TV shows you want to comment on?
Absolutely not. I've been writing papers and going to class.
Yeah. Emil's back in school.
Yeah.
So he's been pretty busy. And I told him he's a better man than me because I don't think I could ever go back to school. More power to you, Neil. Anyway, this has been a lot of fun. We talked about Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix. We kind of got a mixed bag. I think Emil gives it a solid thumbs up. Having only seen two episodes, I am hopeful, although I think it's a little slow. Jay is not so thrilled. So we had a full range of reactions to it, I think. I will say that Daredevil is always on my, in a minor league, so to speak, of Marvel's pantheon of superheroes. I always enjoyed him because I always liked this kind of the unpowered or barely powered superheroes because I just think they're much more interesting, much more like us, right? Much more human, literally. So I'm looking forward to this, looking forward to whatever becomes of a.k.a. Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. And Iron Fist, which I know Jay is just frothing at the mouth waiting for.
Because he has the Iron Fist.
I forgot. Those are two big Easter eggs in there towards Iron Fist as well.
Ooh, okay. So Danny Rand or somebody, which is Iron Fist's real name. Yeah.
I can think of, yeah.
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 I can't even think of Danny Rand's backstory. Oh, no, I remember now. Okay. Okay.
Because I'm a martial artist, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of akin to it. And then the other thing, right? When he uses his Iron Fist, almost nothing can withstand the Iron Fist.
Not a whole heck of a lot. Yeah,
not much.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was never a superhero gamer type, but I did look at all the power levels that were assigned to various heroes in the games, and I could never figure out what we would assign to Danny Rand. The Iron Fist. That was a tricky one.
Yeah,
that was a real tricky one. Because he really didn't use Iron Fist that often, that I recall.
No, because you can't. Because once he uses it, he's depleted, right?
Yeah,
because
he's
using all his chi energy.
Right.
But if he were to use it, right, there's almost nothing that can withstand that Iron Fist.
For that brief moment in time.
Yes! That's the cool thing about it, right? If he uses it just right, he could save the universe.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got to hit the right spot.
We will return for the next Comics News podcast. We've been a little bit, our schedules have been jumbled up, so it hasn't worked out. We've been doing about one a month, which is pretty good, I think, but not like the semi-weekly we're doing for a while. But at any rate, Comics News podcast number 68, we hope that Emil can rejoin us for our second discussion on Daredevil after Jay and I have a chance to watch the whole thing. Thanks, everyone.